Hare Krishna. I definitely feel that I'm at the right place at the right time. I can't imagine more beautiful deities on a more auspicious occasion and so many beautiful devotees as well. So to begin, we'll recite two verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 5. The glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. That's 208. But first we'll sing the invocation. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So text 208. Preme Matya Nityananda Kripa Avatara.
Preme Matya Nityananda Kripa Avatara.
Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara.
Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara.
Prema Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatara.
Prema Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatara.
Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara.
Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara.
Preme. In ecstatic love. Mata.
Mata.
Mad. Nityananda.
Nityananda.
Lord Nityananda.
Lord Nityananda.
Kripa.
Kripa.
Merciful.
Merciful.
Avatara.
Avatara.
Incarnation.
Incarnation.
Uttama.
Uttama.
Good.
Good.
Adama.
Adama.
Bad.
Bad.
Kichu.
Kichu.
Any.
Any.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Kare.
Kare.
Makes.
Makes.
Vichara.
Vichara.
Consideration.
Consideration.
Translation. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. Please repeat. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love.
Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love.
And is an incarnation of mercy.
And is an incarnation of mercy.
He does not distinguish,
he does not distinguish
between the good and the bad.
Between the good and the bad.
Text 209. Ye age padaye tare kare nistara.
Ye age padaye tare kare nistara.
Ata eva nistarila mohena durachara.
Ata eva nistarila mohena
Ye age padaya tare kare nistara.
Ye age padaya tare kare nistara.
Ata eva nistarila mohena durachara.
Ata eva nistarila mohena durachara.
Ye age padaya tare kare nistara.
Ye age padaya tare kare
Ata eva nistarila mohena durachara.
Ata eva nistarila mohena durachara.
Yea, whoever,
age,
in front.
Padaye,
falls down. Tare,
unto him.
Karaye,
does.
Nistara,
deliverance.
Ate eva,
therefore.
Nistarila,
delivered.
As me.
Hena.
Such.
Durachar.
Sinful and fallen person.
He
delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Now, repeat. He delivers all those who fall down before him.
He delivers all those who fall down before him.
Therefore, he has delivered. Such a sinful and fallen person as me. So these two verses describe the merciful nature of Lord Nityananda and the qualification for receiving his mercy. Lord Nityananda is Kripa Avatar. He's an incarnation of mercy. No one is more merciful than Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, for those of us who want mercy and need mercy, which is all of us, he is the proper person and the best person to approach for mercy. And how do we get that mercy? We have to fall down before him. Ye age padaye. So it's very simple. And uttamo udama kichu na kare vichara. He doesn't distinguish between good or bad. All of us are generally a mixture of good and bad. And but even if we're more good than bad, it's not a problem. And even if we're more bad than good, it's also not a problem. Nothing's a problem. We just have to fall down before Nityananda Prabhu, which means we have to be humble. That's really the only qualification. When Prahlad Maharaj, and I assume that pretty much everyone knows the background of the history of Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj was the son of a great demon named Hiranyakasipu. And Hiranyakasipu was, you know, so powerful that he had pretty much subdued any opposition, including big demigods. But there was one person he could not subdue, and that was his son Prahlad, who at the time of this account was 5 years old. Do we have anyone in the audience who's 5 years old? How old are you? Nine? Can you stand up so everyone can see what a nine-year-old looks like? So Prahlad was five, about half of that age. Okay, thank you. You did that very well. So yes, he was 5 years old, but he was a devotee of Krishna, or Vishnu. And his father could not understand how it was possible, because from the very beginning, his father made sure that he was taught in the materialistic way of life, including friends and enemies, the very basic principle of material existence, friends and enemies, and how to rule. And Hiranyakasipu, he considered Vishnu to be his enemy. Now, yesterday was also a holy day. Do you know what the holy day was yesterday? Yes, Varaha Dvadasi, the appearance day of Lord Varaha. And Lord Varaha killed Hiranyakasipu's brother, Hiranyaksha. And so Hiranyakasipu felt that Vishnu, he understood that Varaha Dev was an incarnation of Vishnu, that Vishnu was his enemy. And so Prahlad, although he was trained to be like his father, he ended up being a devotee of Vishnu. So when this fact was revealed, Hiranyakasipu summoned the boy's teachers, and he accused them that you are polluting this boy's consciousness. They said, no, we're not. He said, well then, you're allowing Vaishnavas in disguise to enter. Like sometimes our book distributors, not that they assume disguises, but they don't dress in our regular Vaishnava attire. So Hiranyakasipu was speculating, maybe some Vaishnavas have entered in disguise. He said, no. So then He said, well then, how did he become a devotee? And they said, well, we don't know. You better ask him. So he asked Prahlad, and Prahlad replied, Matir na Krishne parato svatova. That means that one's inclination towards Krishna cannot be aroused by one's own efforts or by the efforts of others. Or by big assemblies, by a combination of one's own efforts and the efforts of others. Now, if you analyze this answer, it seems to exclude every logical alternative. How can you become Krishna conscious if not by your efforts or by the efforts of others or by the combined efforts of yourself and others? And then Prahlad answered the question, Naishamatistavad ulukramangri sprishart yanartha pagamo yadartha Mahiyashan padad rajo bishekam iskinchananam navranita yavat. And he says that one can only become Krishna conscious by padad rajo bishekam, by bathing oneself in the dust of the feet of a pure devotee, iskinchananam, who has no material attachments. And there is no other way. And Srila Prabhupada explains that indirectly Prahlad was saying that you have asked how I became Krishna conscious, and this is how. But you don't have to worry about becoming Krishna conscious, because you will never bow down to the lotus feet of a pure devotee, because you're too proud. So you have nothing to worry about. You won't become Krishna conscious. So this is the real essence of how to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the mercy of Lord Nityananda's devotees, representatives, and that it should be humble and bow down before them. There was a popular singer named Boy George who composed a song called Bow Down Mister. Boy George had association with devotees, and he went to our temple in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple, and from his association with devotees of ISKCON, he saw devotees would always bow down in front of the deities. But in Vrindavan, he was surprised to see that many of the pilgrims or tourists would come into the temple before the deities, but they wouldn't bow down. So he wrote this song, Bow Down, Mister. You should bow down. You have to be humble. That's the only way to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. It doesn't distinguish if you're good or bad. But just bow down. And our Srila Prabhupada also had that same quality of not distinguishing who was fit and who was unfit to receive Krishna consciousness. He wanted to give everyone a chance. One small example from Juhu, Bombay. One youngish Indian man came. He might have even been a PhD student, or anyway, he came and he wanted to join. And many of the devotees were quite doubtful about him. And one of the senior devotees said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, we shouldn't let him in. You know, he's not a fit candidate. He's not a good person. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, we'll let him stay with us. And, you know, after some time there was some difficulty with that person, and he left. And then that senior devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I could see, you know, I could see. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's all right, but I wanted to give him a chance. So that is our duty as servants of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Nityananda, to give people a chance. And then what they do with the chance that we give them, to some extent, depends on them. But, you know, we want to give them a chance. And many book distributors, I think any preacher, but say book distributors, have reported that when they have, you know, a limited number of people they can approach, and a far greater number of potential customers, they distinguish who they think would be a good potential customer and who would not be. But time and time again, they're surprised. Someone who they, by the looks of it, they would not expect to take a book, they do take a book. So that's Nityananda Prabhu. And these book distributors also report that when they're in that mood of just approaching anyone and everyone without making distinctions, that things go better. Things go better. The first time I visited Mayapur after a number of our God brothers left, for some years I was not able to visit Mayapur. And in the meantime, you know, Srila Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and Sridhar Swami Maharaj and Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, they all had left this world. And so when I finally made it back to Mayapur, I was very eager to visit their samadhis and get their mercy. And so when I went to, offer obeisances to Srila Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj's Samadhi Mandir, I felt I got a message from him, don't judge others. You do not know what is in another person's heart. So, yeah, we just have to depend on Lord Nityananda's mercy.
And but that mercy is supported by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And we can feel the mercy so tangibly. Like initially when I was chanting japa in the temple room this morning, there weren't so many devotees present. And then gradually as devotees came in the temple room, like the presence of each devotee like elevated the consciousness. And so there's so much strength that we get from the association of devotees. And therefore each devotee is so so precious and valuable. And at this stage, because we're fortunate to have with us so many wonderful God brothers and God sisters, means disciples of Srila Prabhupada. But I would like to call on our God brother Dhananjaya Prabhu to say a few words, because he had an interaction with Srila Prabhupada about just how valuable devotees are. So, do we have a traveling microphone?
First of all, I'd like to thank all the Vaishnavas inviting and the Dhyanwarpa. It's always a great honor and a great pleasure to come and visit with you. You can hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe make it a little louder.
Yeah, I mean, Giriraj Maharaj mentioned about how Prabhupada really treasures devotees. I had the good fortune to meet Srila Prabhupada in England for the first time on the 11th of September 1969. That's when he flew from Hamburg to London Heathrow Airport. And at that time we were staying at the home of John Lennon and Yoko Ono. You might have heard of them. You haven't heard of them. I'm showing my age. But on another day agreed to accommodate us while Shamsundar Prabhu was getting the London temple in shipshape condition. So because I'm kind of like I can be forward, you know, I can say things perhaps sometimes without thinking it through. But when I heard Prabhupada's voice for the first time, this is before he came to England, when they happened that LP, the Happening album, where Prabhupada sings and also speaks, as soon as I heard his voice, I knew I had some connection with him from the previous life. And I asked the devotees about initiation, because that was like first and foremost in my mind. That's the first thing I wanted to do, was kind of take form of initiation for Prabhupada. And so I asked the devotees, well, when Prabhupada comes to a new temple or a place where devotees are invited, what does he do? And so I was asking this very nice English devotee called Kulashekhar this question. I thought he would know, because he was the one who shaved me up and couldn't speak to stay. So he said that when Prabhupada comes to Zakirtan, then he'll speak, then he'll ask questions, any questions. So that's what he did when we got to Tiffany's Park, a place where we were staying, John and Yoko Ono. Prabhupada first of all paid his obeisances to the altar. It's a very simple altar with three sets of little jagan that were originating from San Francisco. Malati was the one who first brought a deity of Lord Jagannath in front of Srila Prabhupada in 1967. And she was wearing this little Jagannath, this little wooden Jagannath deity around her neck. So when she came in to see Prabhupada immediately noticed Jagannath and he paid his obeisances. And Malati was quite shocked. It seemed like he was saying obeisances to her. But he corrected her and said, no, I'm paying my obeisances. So Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, who you're wearing around your neck. And then he asked, are there more of those little dolls? Who you got this one? She said, yeah, so two other ones. And that's how, for each of the American couples who came to England, were in possession of a set of Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva deities, each for each family. This, of course, not the actual first practice in public in San Francisco. So, Prabhupada came into the temple room, paid his obeisances to the three sets of Jagannath deities. He climbed up onto this dais, because we didn't know what the asana looked like. So, what we would do was we'd copy whatever Prabhupada was doing in America. And so the idea was that we should make a dais. And just like Viraj Varja, we had a little reading light. We had a book stand and a little reading light for Srila Prabhupada to read and quote from Bhagavad Gita Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we instructed Jumuna to sit down in the middle of the temple with a harmonium. And leave the kirtan, the Prabhupada and the kartals. And then he motioned back to his seat that we should dance in a clockwise circle around the moon, which we did for about half an hour. Then Prabhupada stopped the kirtan and he spoke very gravely. I can just remember Prabhupada's mood, it was very grave. But I didn't hear a single word because in my mind, I decided I wanted to ask a very important question to Srila Prabhupada when he came to ask me the question. So I was just focused on waiting until Prabhupada finished his talk. And every word just went like this. It didn't enter into my ears, it just went straight over like that. And so at the end, he said, all right, any questions? And I put my hand up. And I was the only one in the room with his hand up. So he said, yes. And I said in a very bold Scottish accent, when can I take initiation? And he looked at me and he said, we will see. Because obviously, the spiritual master has to check out the disciple, just like the disciple has to check out the spiritual master. So it's a two-way relationship. And now this person has probably heard me speak. And they've never seen me before. But you got to know me really quickly because the next day, because Trivikram, who I was sharing a room with from Buffalo, New York, was Prabhupada's official masseur at Shofar, but he came down with heavy duty toothache. And because I was sharing a room with him and he was lying there, and he said to me, back today, you're going to have to go in and massage Prabhupada today. I said, what? He said, why? He said, well, it's terrible toothache. I said, I've never massaged anyone in my life before. And you're asking me to do this service? He said, well, someone's going to do it, so you do it. And he gave me a few minutes what to do. So I went in there, of course. It was quite, I suppose, tense and intense for me. What if he asks you a real bad question, like, you know, can you quote the Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, thanks really for you understand the meaning of that. But when he came in, and he was addressing to take his massage, he asked me, where are you from? So that's a really good question. I can stop and show you from that. How far is Edinburgh from London? 400 miles from Calcutta. How long does it take to go by train? It's like 8 hours from Calcutta. And he was undressing and he was sitting upright. He wouldn't like that, he was sitting upright. It was little, it's strong eyes. In the middle of the room. And you know, British weather is quite cold pretty much all the time. Of course, it's cold now. It's winter after all. And the sun is shining. In England, even in the summer, the sun doesn't shine. You get about 360 days worth of rain out of 365 days in a year. So anyway, and Prabhupada is asking me, where did you go to school? I said, in Scotland, Srila Prabhupada. So you learned British history? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. When was the Battle of Waterloo? You might have learned that. That's a great famous battle. I really rush to think, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have said yes to so many questions. 1815, Srila Prabhupada. When was the Battle of Trafalgar? As you might know, in the center of London is a place called Trafalgar Square. And on top of this monument is a statue of, anybody know who?
For
Yeshua Lord Nelson, yes. So he won the Battle of Trafalgar. And that was 1805. He said, oh, I said yes. So I also learned this thing when I was a student. And I think the reason the Prophet kind of took interest in me is that when he was a student, all his teachers were Scottish. He went to Scottish Church College in Calcutta. And he was an Indian student. But in this situation, he was an Indian teacher and I was a Scottish student. I mean, I might be wrong, but that's my sort of gut feeling. Anyway, on the 16th of September, this is 5 days later after I asked that question, I brought a photo of the question on the 11th point that I take it. Prabhupada decided that he would give initiation, and there were four of us. There was an English businessman called Jimmy Booty, that's his real name. And it sounds, I think, kind of funny in America. It sounds like Paul Booty. I don't know the reason, but anyway, that was his name. Then there was me, then there was a devotee called Santa Barbara. She got the name, Barbara Mann. And then there was an English girl called Preeta, and she got the name Preeta. And anyway, so we got our initiation, fire sacrifice, and chanted on his beads. And he did everything because none of this, we're familiar with the procedure. And that's the time when I got the name, Dhananjaya. And he said, Dhananjaya means winner of wealth. And he said that in this age, money is flying in all directions. And he became, you know, he was moving his arms around. In all directions, money is traveling. He said, we simply have to learn the art of catching it. That's what he said. So when I was given that name, Wonder of Wealth, I probably explained it in quite a lot of detail. The next morning, after the 15th, no, this is the 16th of September, we were on this morning walk, and I had read a couple of chapters from the Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam. In those days, it was the Indian publication, printed in Delhi. We didn't have any other Bhagavatam, it was just the first three volumes of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I noticed one part of it and I became quite intrigued. So again, I was being quite forward and bold and said, Prabhupada, this is true because I've read it in the Bhagavatam that there is a mountain peak in the Himalayas made of solid gold. I said, yes, there is such a peak. Then I said, do you know where it is? He said, why do you want to know? I said, well, I'd like to, because you know, I can understand that we weren't doing very well financially at that time. And I thought, well, if you let me know where it is, I'll get a little rucksack and a little hammer, chisel. And, you know, they have those for mountaineers, like a special hammer. I said, and I'll go up to the top of that mountain and, you know, hack away at the goals, the Lama Yamasa can come down and we can use that in Krishna's service. And I said, so would you let me know where that mountain peak is? He said, no. I said, why? He said, that will become too controversial. And I thought, oh yeah, that's true. There's a big country called China, the other side of the Himalayas, and there's India. And if a Scotsman finds out something about all, it would be a tremendous battle between the two countries, possibly. So he said, actually, that more valuable than gold is the oil. He said, you should make the oil. That's my story.
So yes, and as Dhananjay, winner of wealth, you have taken that instruction to heart and have always tried to make devotees. And along with making devotees is keeping devotees. I mean, it's good to get some wealth, but you don't want to like lose it after you get it. You want to, so, and that that brings us to another point, which is how to stay in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said that about his books, that distributing my books will keep them happy. I mean, it'll keep the devotees happy if they go out and distribute my books. And, yes, distributing my books will keep the devotees happy, and reading my books will keep them. So, this is a very important point. We've been discussing Nityananda Prabhu's liberal nature in extending mercy. But he was also fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and fully absorbed, always chanting and hearing about Krishna. And so, we need to do that. We need to do both. Like there's the announcements that they make on airplanes. Has everyone here flown in an airplane? Have you flown in an airplane? Okay. So, usually they make an announcement that, you know, if there's an emergency, an oxygen mask will drop down, and you should fix your own oxygen mask first, and then help others. And that's a very practical point. Because if you have some dependent that you want to help, but if you don't get enough oxygen yourself, then you could like pass out or die, and then you'll be gone and you won't be able to help anyone else. They always say you should, you know, fix your own mask. First. So, we also need that spiritual oxygen, spiritual nourishment, which comes from, well, especially there's five items of devotional service that are considered most potent, as stated by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. One is sadhu sangha, associating with devotees. especially to more advanced devotees. Sadhu Sangha Swatovare. So, Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtana, chanting the holy names. Bhagavat Shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Mathura Vasa, residing in a holy place like Mathura or Navadvipa or Jagannath Puri, or any temple where the deity of Vishnu is worshipped. And Murti Sharanvita Sevata, to worship the deity with faith and veneration. And that also includes seeing the worship of the deity. That also counts in the same category. So we're so fortunate by Srila Prabhupada's mercy that we have the opportunity to engage in all of these very five powerful items of devotional service. And so we have to stay nourished ourselves by engaging in these activities, and then we can help others, help ourselves and help others. And of course, japa, especially for initiated disciples, but we do want to work towards initiation in any case. Srila Prabhupada said, of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the instruction to chant minimum 16 rounds daily is most essential. And he said that we may, because the basic principle in Vaidhisadhana Bhakti is always remember Krishna and never forget him. And Srila Prabhupada explains that we may have many activities in Krishna consciousness which are meant for us to remember Krishna while we do them. But to really always remember Krishna, we have to chant a minimum 16 rounds. And so yes, these are very, very important principles. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And chanting with devotees, very powerful. Of course, in a beautiful temple like this, with so many nice devotees, you can chant in the temple room, in association. I have a small ashram in the Santa Barbara area. We don't have so many devotees. But sometimes God brothers do come and visit and stay. So I remember once His Holiness Ratutva Goswami was staying with me. And, you know, when I would be chanting japa, you know, it was okay, sort of. But then when Maharaj would come in and chant, I felt like I got a great boost. And then sometimes, like one time when Ratutva Goswami was there, Jayadvaita Swami came. And then, so we would be chanting, and then he would come in the room, and then we got a further boost. Another time Giridhari Swami, and we get another boost. And one morning, it was like, well, I mean, it just so happened that His Holiness Radhanath Swami and His Grace Burijan Prabhu were staying with me. And so one morning we were like chanting japa together. We had these like cushions on the floor, with bolsters against the wall, and like somehow I was like in the middle between these two powerful japa chanters, and it was like, wow, that was like a real special occasion. So we have our practices, and it's, but those practices are enhanced when performed in the association of sincere devotees. And so this is a great gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us, the association of devotees, especially communities like this where many devotees live near the temple or can come to the temple. And even if it's not easy to come every day, then as often as possible, you know, once a week or as often as possible. And that's like very nourishing. And one devotee told me, he was from a village in Bihar, and he told me that the farmers who had only one cow, the cow would usually be quite lean and thin, even if the farmer provided it plenty of grass and whatever. But when there was another cow or two or three cows, the cows would eat more because of the association. So we're also like that, you know, and when we have other devotees around us, we eat better, we nourish ourselves more by, you know, chanting and hearing and engaging in the activities of devotional service. So, these are really very special gifts, and we should recognize them and appreciate them and take full advantage of them, and then share our good fortune with others. So I think we can end now. Yes, there's a question there, or a comment.
Thank you, Maharaj. I do have being the Prince of Lord Nityananda, something to share for sure that is related to Lord Nityananda.
Yes.
You were mentioning, even in the reading, you said that Lord Chaitanya is, Lord Nityananda is mad, intoxicated, he has to distinguish. And also you mentioned that, you know, Sankaran devotees have this experience when he preaches about this fact. So it just came to my mind that I just wanted to share this. About 25 years ago, I was distributing books in the area, which are mostly 99% Spanish-speaking people. Suddenly I saw an old American lady, Caucasian, and she was around in the late 80s and 90s. But I felt so sorry, maybe it was material compassion, that she was dejected, like wandering, and she was digging in, you know, the trash cans. And I felt so bad and so sorry. And I thought, how can I approach this lady? There's no question she would read a book in that condition. So finally I thought, maybe I should just say Hare Krishna to her. So I got close to her. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. She looked at me and said, can you say Hare Krishna? She looked at me, oh, you are Hare Krishna? And I said, oh, how do you know? She says, I know two brothers. And I said, you do? Please tell me, who are they? She said, well, one is Chaitanya, and the other one is Nityananda. And I thought, there might be some devotees or some devotees. So I said, who are they? She said, right here in my bag. What do you mean? And she started digging her bag. She pulled out and says, look, it's something the cover of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Chaitanya and this is Nityananda. And she raised her hand like that.
Yeah.
Haribo!
Haribo!
You know, I was very touchy story because for me that was, you know, I was thinking how bad this poor lady in, you know, all the Mexican people here. This is her country, she was born here, she worked hard, and she ended up being taken out of trash. Whatever situation she was, she met two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and immediately thought about Prabhupada, about the devotees, and like that, and I thought, wow, this is so nice, it's so good that this lady is so fortunate. And just to close out this one, I think Maharaj, I know that many boys here would have hundreds of stories in relation to that. I just want to take advantage of another story if you allow me to show it. This one was at the airport, and I, you know, usually to try to approach the most suitable person that you think is going to be able to see the book. But this particular time there was a big, huge man, like a wrestler, like a boxer, and with a lot of tattoos, and his face was not the most friendly, according to my view. So I thought, if I talk to him, he might, you know, like push me around and like say something nasty. So I was doubting, and he saw me, he was watching me. So then I thought, maybe I should go, because Paramatma is partner. So I went, I said, excuse me, sir. He says, yes. He says, can I show you something? Please. And then I started showing the books. And after some time, he said, you know what? Thank you very much for approaching me. Many people judge me by the way they look. You know what? Inside, I am a very nice person. Thank you.
Hi.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, ki jai. Sanchi
Very nice stories. All right, so I guess we'll take a break now, and take a break means not take a break from Krishna consciousness. take a break from the class, and continue our chanting and hearing and serving, and until we meet again, at least in the afternoon. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Nityananda Balaram ki jai.